Some of you may be here for the first time, and so I will at least touch on it. But this is something that I've learned about since I came here. When I came up here, I was pretty much a legalist. I thought I understood the grace of God, and I did believe in salvation by God, by salvation by grace, security of the believer, and baptism by the authority of the local New Testament church, and I did believe in observing the ordinances, the two that he delivered to the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper, and I did believe that the church was local and visible and not just invisible. So that's what I believed. Well, I still believe that. But if you think that I haven't learned anything about love, man, have I learned a lot about love. And have I learned a lot about grace. God is much more gracious than I thought when I came here. God is much more merciful than I thought when I came here. And his amazing grace, don't worry about him. He'll be fine. He'll be fine. I'm used to that. I used to go to the children's colony. We used to have a good time down there, hollering and yelling at each other. And so I want you to think about something this morning, because you've heard all this. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus. He had already eliminated Judas Iscariot in the previous chapter. Judas wasn't there. There were just 11 of them. Saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? They wanted to know. They had followed Jesus. They were saved. John the Baptist had baptized them. They had repented of their sins. They had trusted the Messiah was coming. They believed in Jesus. Jesus called a little child unto them and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, truly, except ye be converted. None of them had really been converted. They had been saved. They had been sealed. They were heaven bound. There was nothing that could ever separate them from the love of God that was in Christ Jesus. But after salvation, there's something that goes on in a person's life called conversion. Do you know that's also by the grace of God? I didn't realize that when I came up here. I didn't know it. And God didn't hold me accountable for it. No one had ever bothered to point out to me that his realm of salvation extends to all parts of the work of Christ. Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is the city of the New Jerusalem itself, inside the walls of the final New Jerusalem. And outside it will be the nations of quadruple numbers of people that are saved, millions that are saved. And inside the gates will be those who God deemed worthy to live inside the walls. And inside the actual city itself will be those who God considers to be what is known as the bride of Christ. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So when I got saved, I didn't think much about humbling myself. I was taught that Jesus had kept the law of Moses, and that he kept it for me. And as long as I had my faith in him, I was going to heaven, and nothing could separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I was taught if I was a believer that all my sins were covered. That's in John. John 3:19. Then I suddenly came up here and I had to start teaching school and I don't like to be embarrassed because I was too proud, too haughty, too arrogant. Didn't know that, so I wasn't aware that I didn't like to be embarrassed. I was. I came very quickly. I didn't want people to ask me a question I couldn't answer. So I just went through there, and the parts I didn't understand, I just kind of skipped over and went the traditional way that I had been taught, the way that made me a legalist. I didn't know I was a legalist. I didn't realize the part that works played in our salvation. I couldn't do the works of God. I couldn't do the works of God unless God was in me and unless God was doing them. Paul made that very clear. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Who's doing the works? But Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness is come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. See, I just kind of dropped everything after I'd been saved, you know. And the rest of it, I was supposed to just do this and do that and do this and do that and do this and do that. Be baptized by immersion, by the authority. And I believe all that. But my motive was wrong. You say, well, what did God do? He went ahead and accepted it anyway. You know, God does forgive ignorance. Thank God he does. But in any case, we now come to the part where after Judas has been eliminated, he tells them in the last part of Matthew 17, he says, what was it that we couldn't do? Keep the commandments that God gave on a tablet of stone to Moses and the commandments that he gave through Moses? We couldn't do it. How would God ever make us know that we couldn't do it? To give them to us. Because only God could keep his commandments. And only God, as a man, kept his commandments in the person of the man Christ Jesus, who kept every jot and tittle of it. So what did I learn? And when I was saved, why did I go forward? I had tried for 4 years to keep the commandments of Moses and God, and I failed utterly. Finally, I had no hope. I just gave up. And I trusted in Jesus Christ to save me because I acknowledged before God and myself, I can't do this. And I asked God to save me. He did. How do I know? You say, well, you can't be saved on emotion. Well, I tell you what, I sure did feel good about it. Because for the first time in my life, I felt good about this thing that had been bothering me for more than 4 years. And I had tried and tried and tried and tried and tried and tried. And I just could not live above sin. I just could not love the Lord my God with all my heart and all my might and all my soul. I couldn't do it. I had to let God do it. And so I asked Jesus to save me, and he did. How do you know? Well, he said so. What did he say just before he gave the great commandment to the local New Testament church? He said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Believe that? The local church is not universal and invisible. Never was. The Catholics made it that way, and it is not. The church is local and visible. The family of God is universal. And there are a lot of people that believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they don't belong to any church that teaches the truth. They belong to a whole variety of churches that don't teach the truth. You say, well, they're going to go to hell. No, they're not. If they have put their faith in Christ and asked him to save them, he saved them. You say, that's not grace. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But afterwards, God makes it possible for you, makes you able, equips you to go ahead and serve God in his local New Testament church, and he rewards you because you finally acknowledge to yourself, I can't do this. You say, well, how do you feel about this now? I'm the pastor of this church. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. Now, this is after that God has told this church, given them the church and said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know ye are my disciples. You say, well, you got to be a disciple to go to heaven. Oh, no, you don't have to be a disciple to go to heaven. What you have to do is go ahead and try to be a disciple by taking his yoke upon you. You say, well, there ain't no grace in that. Man, there is a bunch of grace in that. If you think that after you have trusted in Jesus as your Savior, and he has sealed you, as he indicates in the first chapter of Ephesians, and he will never leave you nor forsake you, and he says, he that believeth in me shall never perish, but have eternal life. He tells you that. So if that happens to you, what are you going to do next? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. And you shall find rest unto your souls. Believe it or not, I continued in the Word. And believe it or not, I found rest unto my souls. I found out that God's grace also extended into everything Jesus did for us. Everything. You say, I can't believe that. Yes, you can. He did it. Did it all by himself. Thomas saith unto him, now this is after he's told him this. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. It's a way of grace. It's taking advantage of God's grace. You couldn't even know the way. You couldn't even know the truth unless Jesus came to live in you. And the life, you couldn't even live his life, even make the attempt. You couldn't even make the attempt if he was not inside you. He says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You want to know about the Father? You want to know about the Son? You want to know about the Holy Spirit? You want to know who Jesus Christ is? He's Almighty God. And he has kept every single office of what we call the Trinity. But the Trinity, Jesus, is God. And one man, Jesus Christ, the only man who ever lived that fulfilled the Trinity, the office of the Father, office of the Son, office of the Holy Spirit, is my personal Savior, Jesus Christ, who is Almighty God. Isaiah said he was Almighty God. Isaiah said he was the Everlasting Father. Isaiah said he was the Prince of Peace. That's what Isaiah said about him in the 9th chapter. Read it for yourself in verses 6 and 7. He said that he was the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. This is by grace, every bit of it. You want to be free? Come to understand how free you are. You say, but I want to go to heaven. I want to be free. Realize how free you are. You say, but you realizing free, is that why you go to heaven? No, it's because you put your faith in Jesus Christ to get you there. That's why. But if you want some freedom, come unto him. Come unto me, he said. All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said it. Then he said, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly. You're not, and I'm not, and you weren't born that way. He said, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. You can't tell whether I'm telling you the truth or not, but I understand exactly what that means. And as long as I'm doing the commandments of God, trying to, I have peace. When I do not obey the commandments of God, I'm miserable. Is that right? Is that right, Chili? Is that right, John?
Yes, sir.
Anybody here want to argue with that? That's just the way it is. You say, well, that's not fair. It's more than fair. God does not give you complete rest after you've been saved because he knows that carnal nature, yours, is going to take every single solitary opportunity to be rebellious and not to do it the way God wants. He knows you don't lose the carnal nature. You say, oh my goodness, when is that going to happen? What does he say after? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. He says, for my yoke is easy. Didn't he say that? For my yoke is easy. Isn't it that way? It's also something you cannot do. That's why it's easy. He's already done it. You say, well, I'm going to quit going to church now because I just don't care anymore. How about it? Does that make you love him or hate him? Think about it. Does that make you love him or hate him? How about someone who was the only one who could do it for you, who has already done it for you, saying, my yoke is easy and my burden is light? How do I know I'm telling you the truth? I'm afraid he'd kill me if I wasn't telling you the truth. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I get up every morning, ask God to help me get through this day in a way that pleases you. Daily I fail. Daily I have a bad thought. Daily I get irritated at something when I can't pick a paper up out of the floor and I get thoroughly irritated and I think, what am I doing? I'm supposed to be perfect. No, I'm not perfect. I have to rely on him to have covered all my sins. You say, well, I'll tell you what, brother, if people believe that, they wouldn't even come to church. Well, they don't believe that. And so they come to church not because they've been set free. Not because they love him for what he did for them on the cross, but because they still are carrying that burden of hell on their conscience. You're not going to hell. He's already paid the full price. You say, I can't believe that. You won't believe it. You won't believe it because it just doesn't resonate with you. The truth of the matter is, he has. Now, let's take a look at Malachi 3. The Son of God gives his righteousness to the believer. The light will never decline. And he will soon return for all believers 1,260 days after the Antichrist attacks Israel in response to the Israeli attack to push Israel into the Negev. Now, I'm not going to keep you here. I've got 5 minutes. I'm not going to keep you here. You know why? Because I finally learned to have confidence in the Word of God. You either listened to this, you either heard it, or you didn't. Now, next week, I'm going to do the last part of it here. It's also an Easter message. And I'm going to do that next Sunday, God willing. It's going to be a continuation of this. If you're interested in doing what God wants in your life, if doing God's will is something you want to give you peace, and if you're really interested in doing it, come back next Sunday morning, and I will show you what freedom really is. I cannot show you how gracious God is because I don't even believe it myself, and yet I'm absolutely positive it's true. But I know this for sure. It's all up to you and to you willing to do God's will. Take a good look at this bunch. How are we dressed? Do we look like princes? Do we look like princesses? Is there something extra special about us? Sure doesn't look much like it. Look at your pastor. How would you like to depend on this to get you to heaven? It's ridiculous. God's interested in those who are interested in him. And I'll guarantee you, if you get to know more about him, you'll want to know even more. Yes. And you won't fight it. Yes. You won't resist it. You won't run away from it. You'll just say, well, here I am, Lord. I want to yield my will to yours. I'm not going to tell you can do it, but I'm going to tell you you're equipped to do it. And the only reason you won't is because you finally realize somebody else had to save you. Somebody else had to be baptized for you. Somebody else had to keep the law for you. Somebody else had to be resurrected for you. His name is Jesus. You want to serve him? He wants you to serve him. But he leaves that all to your hand. You say, what if I don't? You won't live in a city. You certainly won't live in the house of God inside the city. You live outside the city. How far away from the gates will you live? I don't know. But if that's what you want to waste your life on, Adam had the same choice. Everyone has had it since they began to say in Genesis chapter 4, and then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. I've been calling on the name of the Lord since I was 12 years old. I've been trying to serve him since I was 38. I finally came to realize it's all by grace. If you want to waste your life, for what shall it profit a man if he loses his whole life and yet doesn't live in the city? It's up to you. Ken, would you dismiss us?